Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Good morning across the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide in the Civic Media app. I'm Todd Albaugh. It is Wednesday Hump Day, the 22nd of March, 2023. Glad to have you along with us on a midweek morning. Mr. Aaron Zommer is our producer and engineer on the board. Always great to have Trygve Olsen on a Wednesday, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. He really has a lot of good insights to share.
He does. His experience, his frankness, the fact that I don't want to use the phrase he just doesn't care. He doesn't care about what people think. He doesn't care what, you know, what the ramifications are, which allows him to just speak the truth, which is what I love.
And that's part of what makes him so funny.
Exactly. Exactly. It is funny. Hopefully entertaining as well. It is 7 minutes past the hour of 9 o'clock. You are on Civic Media. We are happy to have you along. This hour, we are going to ask you, did you listen to the state Supreme Court debate yesterday? It was on Civic Media here last night at 6 o'clock. News director Terry Bell anchored the coverage. It was also streaming in the afternoon on TV and on wispolitics.com and on channel 3000.plus or 3000 plus, I guess it is, in the afternoon. I watched it along with our president and host of the Devil's Advocate, co-host Mike Crute, and we're going to be asking, did you watch the debate and or listen to it? And if so, what was your takeaway? 715-388-7155. Again, area code 715-388-7155. Did you watch the debate? Did you listen to the Supreme Court debate? And if you so, what were your takeaways?
I'll tell you one thing. If you haven't listened to it and you plan to go back and do it, it's on YouTube, but please just stay out of the comment section. It's horrible.
I haven't looked at it at all. Is it nasty?
Well, the live chat, I guess maybe the comment section's okay, but the live chat is really bad. People the whole time were just spouting like stuff like...
Anything we could read on the radio?
Yeah. Right. Oh, yeah. Because the live chat is restricted only to people who were subscribed for 10 minutes or more to the channel.
Okay.
So
all right.
They get some of the crap out of there. There's people like, the audio is awful. That's true. There's people like, look at the crazy in her eyes. Disorganized scatterbrain. Like, wow. Or there's people like, vote for integrity. His past behavior is on the record.
It's just partisan crap going back and forth, right?
A lot of it's much nastier than the ones I was reading, but still.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, stay out of the chat room. Just no good could come of it. You understand? No good could come of it. I appreciate the Wisconsin broadcasters. No, I believe it was the State Bar Association, Wispolitics, and Channel 3000 for Channel 3 here in Madison for putting it on. I thought it was good to have them go toe to toe. It was Susan Simon did a great job as moderator. She kept control of the thing, which I thought was fantastic. Some very good questions, actually, by the question at J.R. Ross and Will McNeely, and I forget who the other person was on the panel, but they did a great job asking questions. So I had no problem with the format, and the questions were asked. I thought it was good. I thought both candidates, I mean, they both came across, I have to say, as fairly judicious. It was clear that someone had talked to Kelly and said, hey, you have to look like an actual judge up there. So I thought that was good. A lot of people are not going to like what I'm going to say next, but I'm going to say it anyway because it's true, because I was in politics for 30 years. A lot of my job was making sure that my boss looked good, and he was, you know, a male. Jana Protasiewicz had this green top on that looked like a green rain jacket or something. It was not flattering. It was not a great look. And I don't understand why people, when they run for especially statewide office, there is a political uniform you were expected to wear. If you're a guy, you're expected to wear a 2-button suit. Don't go with a 3-button. Don't go with some fancy thing. Don't go with some wild tie. Just a dark 2-button suit, preferably a white shirt or a light blue shirt, and a nice tie. That's what the uniform is. If you're a woman, the uniform is a nice pantsuit with a jacket, maybe a skirt, but a jacket with a nice blouse or top underneath of it. It's not complicated, but people feel they have to make a statement with their wardrobe, man or woman. And people say, well, why are you looking? I was on Devil's Advocate yesterday with Crudy and Dom. We appreciate them having me on yesterday was great. And Dom did not agree. Dom, Crudy and I were on the same page. Crudy did not like the look either from Janet Protest Sandwich. But Dom was like, why are you looking at that? That's not the first thing I would look at. Well, as someone who, it was my job to make sure that my boss looked good, that's usually the first thing I look at. You know, who, how are they dressed? How do they look? How's their hair? Because people will judge you on that if you're a political candidate. Thus the reason I ran twice and lost. People did not enjoy my look, among other things. But it's important. But it's not the biggest thing out there. But I do think for people who are watching on TV or streaming live, that was something to think about. I don't know.
It is something that's not going to help when Dan Kelly is running ads like, she's a political activist because she looks like she doesn't fit in to being a stereotypical judge. And then some of the things she said in the debate can and will be used against her.
Yes, and I think that's the big point. I think overall, Janet Protasiewicz did a nice job. But yes, she had a line in there. She was being attacked by Kelly for some of her sentences. And of course, she's been on the bench for several years. And when you're a judge, you do the best you can. Not every person that goes to your courtroom is going to turn out great. And she had a couple of individuals who reoffended. And so he was going after her on that. And I believe the line she used was, I take every defendant's situation into consideration. And he had just got done accusing her about sexual assault cases. So that will probably be used to add against her at some point. We'll come back and talk more about the Supreme Court race and take your calls as well. 715-388-7155. You're listening to the Todd Allball Show. And you're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Back to the Todd Allball Show. It's now 9:15. That's quarter after 9 here at the Time and Temperature Sign, Richland Center, Wausau, Amory, around Wisconsin and around the world on the Civic Media app. If you do not have the app, that's okay. We got you covered. Just take out your smartphone out of your pocket off the kitchen table, wherever it's at, and go to your app store on your phone. Type in Civic Media, C-I-V-I-C. That is C-I-V-I-C, Civic as in civics class, Civic Media. It'll pop up. You download it. It is free. That's right. F-R-E-E. Free. Gratis. It won't cost you a dime. And then you download it. Takes less than a minute. What a deal. And then you open it up. Go to other stations on the left-hand side of the screen. Other stations. Click on that. And then you scroll on down to WRCE. News from the center. WRCE. Click on that. Bada bing, bada boom. You've got Aaron Zommers and I every Monday through Friday, 8 until 11, right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. And you can also listen to the other fine programs throughout the other Civic Media Network radio stations. Talking this hour a little bit about the Supreme Court race and the debate that was yesterday heard here on Civic Media, anchored by news director Terry Bell, last night at 6 o'clock, streamed throughout the afternoon live on Channel 3000. That is the CBS affiliate here in Madison, WISC, WISP Politics, and the Wisconsin Bar Association. Good debate, as we said. I mean, it was, for the most part, congenial. Went back and forth a little bit of heat. Nothing wrong with that, but respectful. And if you watch the debate and actually listen to the answers, I thought that Judge Protasiewicz, I thought her best part of the debate is when she laid out the case against Dan Kelly, when she went word for word, just like, look, here's what this dude is about. And Mr. Zommers, I know you're looking for a couple other things. Are we able to take that now, or do you want to wait for a little while? We can take that now. All right, very good. Here is Judge Protasiewicz yesterday at the Supreme Court debate talking about Judge Kelly.
Your response, Judge Protasiewicz.
Okay, let's talk about bought and paid for and impartial. My opponent was still on the payroll of the Republican Party of the state of Wisconsin in December of 2022. My opponent went on a election, quote, fraud tour sponsored by the Republican Party with Michael Gableman, of all people, Michael Gableman, this summer and this spring. My opponent has accepted more than $120,000 in payments from the Republican Party. And the topper, the real topper.
That's time.
What she ran out of time there a little bit. What she later said in another subsequent response was, the topper was that she was involved in this alternate slate of electors. Kelly was that he was $120,000 he was paid for by the Republican Party of Wisconsin and the National Republican Party was to be an attorney and advise on coming up with this alternate slate of electors, working with Richland Center native Andrew Hitt, then the chairman of the Republican Party in the state of Wisconsin, who testified under oath at the January 6th hearing that he, along with executive director of the Republican Party still, Mark Jefferson, texted back and forth, were involved with Ron Johnson, U.S. Senator, in a discussion about having an alternate slate of electors. They were saying they're crazy. Hitt and Jefferson for the Republican Party of Wisconsin said they knew that Trump lost. They knew that that was it. They knew that having an alternate slate of electors was crazy, and yet they went on and did it anyway. And Justice, former Justice Dan Kelly, was paid $120,000 plus to be the attorney to advise on how to do this. And as I've said before, it doesn't matter whether you voted for Trump or Biden, whether you're Republican, Independent, Green Party, Libertarian, Independent, Episcopalian, Methodist, Catholic. I mean, it doesn't matter who you are. All right? The point is that whomever we vote for, that vote has to be sacred. That vote has to be protected. And Dan Kelly took $120,000 plus from the Republican Party to advise on how legally to subvert the system and take away your vote. Doesn't matter who you voted for. Because once the election process is infiltrated, is taken advantage of, that's it. It doesn't matter what side you voted on. The point is that the system has been broken and democracy has been lost. And so we have to protect democracy at all cost. Kelly was unwilling to do that. He was part of the cabal, part of the attempted insurrection. And so Proto Savage did a great job of laying this out. And so of course he came back and said, well, of course, none of that's true. Also what Kelly did during a couple of times is he kept ignoring the question and just attacking Judge Protasiewicz. And so a lot of the responses from Judge Kelly, Justice Kelly, sounded a lot like this.
Because that ad was slanderous of the entire criminal defense bar. It did not show respect. It showed profound disrespect. I'm sorry, what was your question?
he said that a lot. I'm sorry, what was the question? He completely ignored the moderator. Susan Simon did a great job. And the questionnaires. what was the question?
Yeah, I think this is a good this is an indicator of the most civil a debate is going to be.
Right. Yeah.
Probably ever now.
No, and look, I had no problem with the 10. I mean, especially if you watched any of the presidential debates, you know, in 16 or 20 with Trump. I mean, I got no problem with the tenor of yesterday's Supreme Court debate.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But the ones with Trump, those were not debates.
No, they were just whatever they were. But yeah, I mean, Kelly just completely refused to answer questions a lot of the time and went on the attack against Protasiewicz. I will say this, as we talked about before the break, and I don't falter. Look, I've been a candidate twice for state assembly. And I was just one assembly district. I've never been a candidate for Congress, let alone statewide office. There's a lot of pressure when you're up there on a podium in a debate and going back and forth and trying to remember all the notes that your preparers helped you prepare. It's a lot of pressure. And what I loved about the answer you're going to hear from Judge Protasiewicz in a minute is her honesty and her compassion. Let's listen to the clip and then we'll talk about it.
I certainly would like to see that transcript in total. That is certainly doesn't sound like anything that I would do. I've told you that I work very, very hard to keep our community safe. And guess what? I also do see some good in the defendants and the accused who come before our courts.
So that's what I believe will probably be clipped up and put into an ad against her. admitting that,
part, yeah.
Admitting that she does see some good in the defendants. Because what they're going to do is they're going to take the Republicans, they're going to take, you know, the most horrendous sexual assault case or whatever that came through her courtroom, and the handful of people that went out and reoffended, and they're going to say, this is what the defendant did. And what does Judge Protasiewicz say? And they're going to play that clip saying that she does see some good in the defendants. So what I wanted to let you know that and play you that because I wanted to prepare you for what you're going to hear and see over the next 2 weeks.
And to put it in context.
And yes, thank you, Aaron. That's the whole point. And to put it in context. It wasn't that she said that she saw good in the reoffenders. It isn't that she was saying that, yes, people who go out and commit heinous crimes, I see good in them. She was being badgered. This was, Aaron, correct me if I'm wrong, that was probably about, what, three quarters of the way through the hour, more or less.
Yeah.
So, I mean, she'd been badgered for a good 40 minutes by Kelly, on and on and on about this. And what she was trying to say is, look, what you're saying, you're pulling out a case of the hundreds or maybe thousands of cases that I've had in 20 years or whatever it is on the bench. You're pulling out a handful of cases here. Because the Republican Party of Wisconsin did an open records request for every single case that Protasiewicz ever had. And they have these minions down in a skanky basement at the Republican Party headquarters downtown. I used to go there, used to work there a little bit. For all the money they have, their headquarters is just kind of dank and skanky. In fact, they're so scared. This is true. The Republican Party of Wisconsin is so scared of having a headquarters in Madison that they don't even put their name on the door. I think.
Wow.
I'm sure a lot, not of the building. I think, and for a while, it wasn't even on the door. I think now they may have like little tiny letters or something that says, I don't know, you know, GOP headquarters. But yeah, they don't like to advertise it where it's at because they're scared. That would be an indication maybe you're on the wrong side of the people.
They don't want to have to go past protesters to get into work.
Yeah, exactly. And so their headquarters is not the nicest place. And so there's just a big basement with kind of cheap chairs and tables or whatever. So they hire these kind of, you know, young college Republican kids to go down, and they pay them, you know, minimum wage or whatever it is. And they go through these files of Protasiewicz, and out of the thousands of cases, they find again whatever the handful of where Protasiewicz said, you know, I'm balancing everything out, and I'm not going to give you the maximum sentence, and so you're going to serve, you know, whatever it is, a few months or a couple of years, and then they get probation, and then they go out and they reoffend. That's the nature of the beast, right? I mean, a judge doesn't have a crystal ball. You do the best you can. And by and large, Judge Protasiewicz has put people away for a long time that committed terrible crimes. But they found this one or two that were kind of whatever kind of crime, and then they reoffended. So now they're going to try to turn it around and make it sound like Judge Janet is soft on crime, which she is not. So, yes, as Aaron said, we wanted to put that in context for you so you understood that. So when you hear that ad, you know what she's talking about.
Yeah, there are only so many ways to say the things you're supposed to look at include the character of a person without literally just saying the things I'm supposed to look at include the character of the person.
Well put. And again, I would much rather have somebody on the state Supreme Court who is honest, who's actually going to open up a little bit and tell you what she's thinking. And quite frankly, I think it's refreshing to have someone that says, look, I understand that every person that comes before me is a human. Because if you go to the state capitol, you look up at the mosaic in the rotunda, the mosaic that represents justice, holding the scales of justice, she has a blindfold. Same with the U.S. Supreme Court. Because the old adage is that justice is supposed to be blind. It's not supposed to consider whether what gender we are, what ethnicity we are, what social economic class we come from. We're supposed to apply the law blindly to everyone equally. Of course, we don't do that, but that's the goal. So I think it's refreshing to have a judge that says, look, I understand that every person that comes before me is a human. And I have to weigh everything, including the character of the person, as best I can. I think that's refreshing. That's the kind of judge that I like to have in the Supreme Court. How about you? Give us a call, 715-388-7155. Again, area code 715-388-7155. Thoughts on the Supreme Court race? We'll come back with more after this. This is the Todd Allball Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network. Lead the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Eye of the Tiger, a little Rocky music to get you up and get you going on a Wednesday hump day, the 23rd, back in the 22nd of the 23rd here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Todd Allball along Mr. Aaron Zommer is talking a little bit this hour about the state Supreme Court race. Judge Janet Protasiewicz taking on former Supreme Court Justice Dan Kelly in this race coming up a week from yesterday. Mr. Sommers, during the break, I thought you put it very well. Tell the folks what you said about one side saying one thing and one side not saying another.
Yeah, what I said over the break is that I think each of them, their two weakest points. For Dan Kelly, it's what he didn't say. And for Judge Janet, it's what she did say. So for Dan Kelly, he would be asked a question and his answer would always boil down to, well, what she said was a lie. I did not do that. So I'm going to deny everything. Also, I will be a judge. And I will not legislate. I'm not going to preach from the bar. I will just base everything on precedent. But also, yes, she lied about me. I didn't do that. And then her answer, she answered the questions. And because of that, it's going to be a lot easier to use her answers in negative ads on her. Whereas for him, there's not a lot to go on.
I thought that's a succinct way to look at it. And very good. Justice Kelly, chose a very traditional route for a judicial debate. Really don't say much, deny accusations, and throw out attacks at your opponents. And Judge Protasiewicz, much more forthcoming with her thoughts, her answers. And as Aaron said, perhaps especially that one line may be used against her, not in a court of law, but in a court of political campaigning. But I think if you watch the thing or listen to the thing in its entirety, there's one person that seems true and confident and will apply the law as it's written, and that's Justice Protasiewicz. And then there is somebody who will just ignore the law and not answer questions and be controlled by the Republican Party, and that's Dan Kelly. What do you think this morning on this race, or any other thoughts on a Wednesday? 715-388-7155, area code 715-388-7155, the number to call, just like our good friend, Mr. Jeff Perry, on line one. Mr. Perry, how the heck are you on a Wednesday?
Hey, I'm pretty good, Todd. How are you?
Well, I'm doing fantastic. We haven't had a chance to talk since last week when you were so kindly filled in on the last hour there. Great job, and we thank you for doing that. We appreciate you for stepping in.
Well, I had a lot of fun, and it was a great experience. I loved touring the place. And I fell in love with the Civic Media dancers, quite frankly.
A lot of people don't know about that. they do a great job. They're here at 5 o'clock to practice every morning, and the solid
they're
cold
really,
Civic
really
dancers.
Really gonna go places.
Yeah. And the color guard out back too.
I'm not sure if the dance pole is going to the new studios downtown or not. We'll see. So, what is on your mind, Mr. Perry, on this fine Wednesday? What are you calling about?
Well, Aaron's observation there was very acute. That was kind of what I was going to say. Especially, I thought that that Janet Protasiewicz's answers are probably going to be used in negative ads.
Right.
So I thought that was a good point that he made. I did think of a new slogan for her though.
Yes.
And I hope that she so Janet Protasiewicz, yep. And you'd have to, it would be in the ad, it would be like, tough to pronounce,
tough on crime.
Oh, I like that. I like that
That'll
a lot.
Work, right?
Yeah.
So we could pass that on to her, maybe.
Free advice for the judge. Yeah.
And I got a comment about Dan Kelly too. So as you said, he was on the court once before. He didn't get elected.
Right.
And when he did try to run, he got beaten like an investment banker at Burning Man. But that's another. So he had one. We got to give credit where credit's due. He had one great accomplishment when he was on the court.
And that was.
And I don't like to sing his praises, but so he made the suggestion that the justices wear two different colored robes, one for their home cases and one for their away cases. That's his legacy, and we have to give him credit for that.
I don't think enough people understand that and know that, Jeff. You're right. He does not get enough credit for that.
My job here, Todd, is to bring that great insight, my experience into your program. I just think that that's my way of saying that I just think that he's a clown and he hasn't really accomplished anything and won't accomplish anything. So, and I wanted to ask you too to make sure. Now I only get to vote for one candidate, right?
Yes, that's very important.
Okay.
Only vote once for Supreme Court Justice.
Because I called in once before thinking that in the primary that I could vote for two because I'm an idiot. But
No, as it turned out, you're not because I was talking with our colleague Matt Flynn, incidentally, at 3 o'clock each and every afternoon. Matt Flynn Direct, great program. Lines are open from day one or from hour one, and you're not woke if you don't know history. Great show, Matt Flynn. But Matt Flynn would say, on his show, he was having the same thing. He had callers during the primary that said they thought they were going to have to or could vote for two different candidates.
Yeah, and when I went to go vote absentee in person, somebody had to go up and get their ballot spoiled and get a new one because they were like, hey, I've voted for two people, and then I reread the instructions.
Yeah.
Help me, please.
It was confusing.
Wow.
Yeah, you were not the only one.
Okay, well, that makes me feel a little better. So, all right.
To your point, though, Jeff, my fear is that not so much that Kelly won't do anything, is that he will do something, which is called take away our vote. Mm. I mean, if there's another close vote in the presidential race in 2024, he is essentially not guaranteeing that he would uphold what the people of Wisconsin wanted, that he may decide just to find in favor of Trump or whoever the Republican nominee is, even if they don't get the proper votes here in Wisconsin. So that scares the heck out of me.
Right, no, you're exactly right. And when I said he would do nothing, I meant he would do nothing good.
Exactly.
But you're exactly right. And he was, you know, as you pointed out earlier in the show, he was involved in that fake electors business.
Yes, 120,000.
And that alone, in my opinion, should disqualify him. Just like that, what's that, Martin Van Buren? What's his name, the congressman from up north?
Derek Van Norton.
Thank you. Yes. Just like him. You know, shouldn't that disqualify people? I don't know.
Marty Van Orton.
I guess I just don't know how things work.
I like that. Marty Van Orton. I like that a lot, actually. That's Trump-esque as far as nicknames go. That's really good, Jeff. No, I mean, you're right. Derek Van Orton, congressman from the 3rd District, he was at the insurrection. He was there. He posted pictures on Facebook. He bragged about it. And then he said he was in one part of the insurrection. And then it turns out, well, no, actually, I was a little more involved, a little closer than I led people to believe. And now he's a freaking United States congressman representing Wisconsin in Congress after being part of an insurrection.
Unbelievable. I never thought I'd see the day.
And now you have a judge, Dan Kelly, who took $120,000 from Republicans to advise our fellow Richland Center native Andrew Hitt and the other Republicans on how to subvert the vote, how to have a fake set of electors. And they actually did it. They actually signed it. Yes. they signed it, and they tried to get Ron Johnson involved. And then the one, I mean, think about this for a second. Of all the people in this chain, from Andrew Hitt to Mark Jefferson in the state party, to Dan Kelly, to Gableman, former Supreme Court justice, who launched that $2 million investigation with tax money to find out that the election was actually legal, and then to Ron Johnson, to Mike Pence, the most honest person in that whole line of people I just said was Mike Pence. I mean, it's true.
Oh, man.
He's the only one that wouldn't do it.
Is it true that Ron Johnson sent some fake electors to the accounting firm of Price Waterhouse because he wanted to get the best picture win for Everything Everywhere All at Once overthrown?
Yes. That's exactly right. By the way, I think that's Stormy Daniels' next movie, Everything Everywhere All at Once. Coming soon to a theater near you.
With a budget of $130,000, I think.
Yes, I think you're exactly right. Oh, Jeffrey, I love it. Any other big news for the day? Any other comments for us?
No, I think I've done enough.
I'm not sure what your schedule is. I know people actually have real jobs. But coming up a little bit later, probably in our next hour, this is a great story, actually. This is a real story before the U.S. Supreme Court today. Lawyers for the distiller Jack Daniel's will argue before the Supreme Court that a dog company toy is ripping off its brand. This is true. This company has come up with a dog toy that looks exactly like a bottle of Jack Daniel's.
And
I have photos of it. So we'll talk about that. Dog toys versus Jack Daniel's. So that's
good.
That's coming up at hour three.
I'd be anxious to hear that. I'll be
waiting with bated breath, I'm sure.
And that made it up to the U.S. Supreme Court?
That made it up to the U.S. Supreme Court.
Wow.
I'm sure that Clarence Thomas is going to say, let's have some evidentiary evidence here. I need a bottle of Jack Daniel's to figure out whether this is real or not.
Brett Kavanaugh's way ahead of him.
Yes, you're absolutely right. Kavanaugh would be the leader in that group. Can you imagine that? Yeah, Brett Kavanaugh, absolutely. He'll drink all those people under the table. What an injustice. All right, Mr. Perry, we thank you as always for your time, and we'll have you back on the show real soon. Have a great day. We appreciate you.
Thanks, Todd.
My pleasure.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye. That is Jeff. Great guy. Great person. We love having him on the show. Great insight, right?
Definitely. Always very funny. Yes. And it's nice to have a face to the voice now that he
was
a guest host.
Yeah. Now, we'll have him back. We'll have him back here another day, and I'm sure there'll be a day I won't be around, and we'll have Jeff Perry back and doing some more guest hosting here on and off on the show. We appreciate it very much. I welcome your phone calls as well. Area code 715-388-7155. Again, area code 715-388-7155. If you have thoughts, any more thoughts on this Supreme Court race here in the state of Wisconsin. Yes, and then coming up in hour number three, we're going to talk about this dog toy. This is a serious case. It's a real case.
Oh, I looked it up, and it sure is a serious case.
It's a very serious case. Jack Daniel's taking on a dog toy company. It's fantastic. A couple minutes left here before we go to break, and then we're going to come back and finish it up in the next segment. Wanted to break down for you, four known Trump legal cases. Talking about that with Trigvi Olson in hour number one. There are four known government-run investigations into Donald Trump or his businesses, and these cases could lead to criminal charges against the former president. One is a civil case. A single charge in any of these cases would be a first in American history. Potential charges range from more minor, potentially including document mishandling, to major, including aiding an insurrection, obstruction, and a variety of serious fraud charges. So that's a big question that people are asking today or thinking about today. This charge in New York that reports are that he may be actually indicted today, Trump, but would not be processed until later this week or early next week. But should these local charges be the ones that they're going after, or should they kind of gloss over that and go for the larger federal charges? So we'll start this and we'll finish it up here in the second break. So on the national level, the Department of Justice has appointed a special counsel to look into two broad cases, the classified documents found at his Florida estate Mar-a-Lago and efforts to interfere with the 2020 election. Those are pretty big, right? So the case is about, it's a set of two investigations connected to Trump, overseen by a single independent prosecutor at the Department of Justice. The order establishing the special counsel lays out two areas, all right? Interference with the 2020 election results and presidential transfer of power in 2021. That includes the attacks on January 6th at the U.S. Capitol. And the second part of that, possession of classified documents at Trump's residence in Florida. The prosecutor on that one, a special counsel named Jack Smith, who formerly served as a chief prosecutor for the International Criminal Court in The Hague. Previous to that, he oversaw the Public Integrity Unit at the DOJ. So that's the first case. We're going to lay out the other three for you when we come back. Talk more about it. Take your phone calls as well. This is the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show. It is now 9:50 on the Civic Media Radio Network. More 80s songs. I love it.
Yep. I thought we'd just continue it a little bit.
Very nice. I like that a lot. 10 minutes before the hour of 10 o'clock, we'll have the update for you as far as news and weather at the top of the hour. And then hour number three of the Todd Allball Show. If you want to talk about the Wisconsin State Supreme Court race or this Trump debacle that we're going to go through as well, give us a call, 715-388-7155. What do you think? Did you watch the debate last night with the Supreme Court? And also, what do you think about the Trumpster? Is this the case, this case in New York, Stormy Daniels, porn star payments, is this the case we should be prosecuting Trump on? What do you think? 715-388-7155, the number to dial. Again, 715-388-7155. So going through these four cases, went through the big one before the break, the national level, that he helped with the insurrection on January 6th and the documents, the classified documents he had in his possession in Mar-a-Lago, allegedly, we have to say that. So when can we hear? It's unclear. Special Counsel Smith, appointed in November, is overseeing a massive probe here. His appointment does not have an end date. But here's the thing. The directive establishing his investigation also notes that Trump is a current candidate for president, leading to speculation that Smith, the investigator, may, keyword may, want to complete what he has to do before the election cycle moves too close in 2024. Lots of complicated things I'm not going to go into right now. We'll do it on another show another time. But the timing of a case like that. Case number two, New York State business fraud case. The New York Attorney General is behind a civil, not criminal, but a civil lawsuit alleging the Trump Organization lied to lenders and insurers about its assets. The case is about whether Trump and others involved in the Trump Organization committed fraud by inflating values of some assets, including properties, to get loans and other benefits. Not a criminal case. Instead, it's a civil lawsuit filed by the state attorney general. She does not have the ability to file criminal charges, though she has referred to the case, has referred it to the Manhattan district attorney for that possibility. So we'll see about that. Case is set to go to trial in October of this year. All right. Case number three. The devil went down to Georgia. This is in Georgia. The district attorney in Fulton County, Georgia, another DA, is considering charges surrounding efforts by the former president and his allies to overturn the 2020 election there. Whether Trump interfered with, including if he tried to overturn the 2020 election results in Georgia, the case includes the January 21st call. Remember that? Quote, unquote, the perfect call from Trump to Georgia's Secretary of State, Brad Raffensperger, in which Trump repeatedly said he needed 11,000 more votes. So how soon could we possibly hear on that? Most soon. Willis said in January that decisions are, quote-unquote, imminent. On Monday of this week, Trump's attorney filed a motion to keep the final grand jury report secret and remove the district attorney's office from the case. Some see that as an indication that he, too, expects news from the DA soon. And finally, case number four, the one we're talking about now in New York City. Where? New York City? Yes, New York City. The Manhattan District Attorney has been working with a grand jury on whether Trump hid payments that were hush money to silence Stephanie Clifford, Who's Stephanie Clifford? Well, that's just her real name. She goes on the TV, on the stream, on the porn circuit as Stormy Daniels about an alleged affair with Trump. Prosecutor is Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg. He was elected to that job last November. He's a Democrat. So the statute of limitations involved, the accounting fraud charge has a 2-year statute of limitations as a misdemeanor and 5 years as a felony. But New York law extends that timing if a defendant has lived for a significant time out of the state. As president, Trump lived and worked in the White House and his Florida home. So if these charges appear, expect this to be a point of contention. News of a possible indictment expected any day now, perhaps as soon as today. That is a quick overview of the four charges. So lots going on there. Lots of moving parts. Thought we'd just lay it out there for you today. And there is lots more. As more of these cases come up here, we're going to refer back to this document and help explain these things as they come up. But the question a lot of people posed, including our first guest today, Trevi Olson, is the last case I read there, number 4, in New York City, these charges involving Stormy Daniels, is that where folks should they have coordinated? All these attorneys and attorney generals, should they have coordinated with each other and said, look, you know, who's going to go first? I'm not an attorney like Matt Flynn. Maybe that actually weakens the case, right? But here's the thing. Here's what people are saying, that this last case I brought up with these payments, basically accounting fraud, right? According to the New York Times, these charges may include falsifying records, a violation of the New York penal law. The idea is that the payments to Clifford, a.k.a. Stormy Daniels, were falsely written as something else in the books by the Trump Organization and that Trump knew with intent to defraud. And that offense is often a misdemeanor. However, it can be elevated to a felony if the fraud is covering up other serious criminal activities. So, not denying that Trump most likely did these things with the evidence that we've seen, and of course the grand jury has seen a whole heck of a lot more, but there may, keyword may, be more wiggle room for Trump to get out of this on appeal. And if he gets out of this on appeal, ultimately, even if he gets indicted, even if they quote-unquote arrest him and he has the mugshot and everything, look, just because someone gets arrested doesn't mean you get convicted. Doesn't even necessarily mean it goes to court. So if Trump and his attorneys are able to get out of this smaller, lesser charge, does that weaken, moving forward, other larger charges against him? Because Trump and his attorneys are just going to say, look, Your Honor, look, the jury, this is one thing after another, this is a witch hunt against my client, a former president of the United States. This is a witch hunt. That may be their argument, whether it's right or wrong. And could that potentially weaken other larger cases that are, I don't want to say more legitimate, but certainly more consequential? Whether or not he lied about paying a porn star for a fling and then tried to cover it up, that's a smaller charge than insurrection, in my opinion. We'll come back with hour number 3, take your phone calls, talk a little whiskey and dog toys, and hour number 3, and much more in your phone calls. This is the Todd Allball Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.